Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Together with me, would you please read the sermon title for this morning? People Matter. Based on our gospel reading, here are some of the verses one more time. And Jesus saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Then many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the so-called righteous, but the sinners." This morning I invite you and I encourage you to open up your handout, follow the sermon outline as we consider our theme, People Matter. Well, no fun songs should be sung in Sunday school. It's a waste of time. Does not teach the children the crucial lessons of the Bible. It just teaches the kids that church is a fun place to be. It'd be better if little children did not come to the communion rail, because it just gives a false teaching about the meaning and the sacredness of Holy Communion. Children's messages with the kids up front is simply a waste of time. Again, it just teaches the kids church is a fun place to be. And by all means, only pastors should read the scripture lessons from the lectern, because untrained lay people will make mistakes and they will butcher it. Well, this was the essence of an article I read not long ago in a theological journal. And I could not disagree more. Would that more of our children find God's house a fun place to be, where they can come in safety and security and laughter and learn how much their Savior loves them. And by all means, more and more, would more and more of God's people be willing to serve in His church for the Word and the Gospel. The ideas of this theological journal article pointed to one disturbing error. It is one form of religion in which people don't matter. And this leads us to today's sermon theme, People Matter. In today's sermon text, the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees, were an example of the attitude of, we have a religion in which people don't matter. Jesus had called a man named Matthew to be his disciple, and Matthew willingly followed our Lord. Now, Matthew had been a cheating tax collector. And Jesus went to Matthew's home for a meal, and some other bad people were there as well. It seems like the Pharisees were following the action quite closely, because they asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does a respectable rabbi like Jesus eat with those kind of people?" Behind their question is their attitude. In our religion, such people are not welcome. They do not count. They do not matter. Jesus' reply was direct. People, not religious systems, are important. With biting sarcasm, Jesus says to them, "Those like you who think they're healthy don't need a doctor, just those who know they are sick. I did not come for those who think they are righteous like you. I've come for those who know that they are sinners, like these tax collectors around Matthew's table." The Pharisees' religious system ruled out some people, by the way, those who weren't Pharisees. They said that such people were unlovable to God. And Jesus says to them, "Hogwash, baloney, no way, you are dead wrong. In God's eyes, all people matter." Holy Bible says the same thing. The children were saying it. Maybe you didn't hear them. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son." Romans 5, verse 6 says, "While we were still sinners, God, Christ, died for us." If God had waited till we measured up, and God had waited till we reformed and obeyed all the commandments, He and we would wait forever for His love, and we would wait forever for any hope to become acceptable in His sight. My friends, in Christianity, all people should matter. And when you and I look into a mirror, and we see all of our sins, and we see all of our failings, we see all of our mistakes, and we realize that God loves and accepts and forgives that person that we see in the mirror, we have to be led to this truth. All people matter. All people count. This is a distinctive attitude that we are called to show to the world. God does not just love the decent, upstanding, wonderful, nice people. He loves the stubborn. He loves the selfish. He loves the difficult. He loves sinners like you and like me. Jesus Christ, God's Son, died upon the cross and rose for the sins of the world. And by faith in Him, the Holy Spirit of the living God of Jesus Christ lives in our lives. So we can make this truth known to the world. All people matter. All people count. Yet all around us, I'm sure you've been following the news, especially all this refugee news, but it's even closer to home to us today. All around us, there's a clear message. People do not matter. You want some examples? Far too often in corporate business or government, people don't matter. Financial profits do. So in some labor unions, a worker is not permitted to do the simplest task because the system counts, not the worker or the people he's supposed to serve. A young couple with small children and a real small budget try to find a place to live. And the sign on the entrance to the apartment building says clearly, "No children allowed." One supreme irony of this amazing technological age in which we live is something called the neutron bomb. Maybe you've heard of it. This neutron bomb leaves buildings standing, but destroys human life. You see, buildings and monies are to be saved, but people don't count. We see it all around us. Old people don't count. Young people don't count. Overweight people don't count. People of a different skin color don't count. Unattractive people don't count. Bald people don't count. The list goes on and on. But one thing my grade 7 Sunday school teacher taught me, the sainted Mrs. Miller, it does no good for the believer to point their finger at somebody else, because when we point one at somebody else, we have three coming right back to ourselves. The Christian church, this is what I'm trying to say, is not immune to this attitude. Here it really hurts when in the name of God or in the support of traditions or habits or out of a self-righteous heart, some people are made to feel not welcome, not a part of the in-group, not sat with in Sunday worship, not spoken to after worship, not invited to lunch, made perhaps to feel like a leper because of a personal or familiar problem or a setback. I have a letter in my files written long ago by a young man who really made some mistakes in his life and experienced in that church just those very things. But thank God he was strong enough to teach that congregation that he and all people matter to God. Dear people, let this be the mark of our belonging to Christ as individuals and as a congregation. All people count. Take note. Relating to people who are sinners never means indifference to sin. Let me say that again. Relating to people who are sinners never means winking our eyes and being indifferent to sin. But treating people as they matter includes warning and admonition, as well as love and forgiveness. At times, we are called to humbly show people their sin. It's a tough love that Jesus brings into our lives, as well as a tender love. But the real test comes with those in our lives who are hard to love. You have them in your lives, and I in mine. Perhaps that person is a neighbor, a co-worker, a family member, a church member. Perhaps that person that's hard to love is that individual whose face you see in the mirror every morning. A true test, if ours is a faith in which people matter, is when we encounter somebody impossible to love. There's a powerful message about this in a wonderful novel turned into a movie, Louise Hansberry's novel, A Raisin in the Sun. In one scene, an elderly black mother is talking to her daughter who simply had it with her troublemaking brother. Quote, the constant embarrassment of our family. And here's what the mother says. Let me read her words to you. There is always something left to love. And if you ain't learned that, child, you ain't learned nothing. When do you think is the time to love somebody the most? When they're good and have made things good for everybody? Well, then, child, you ain't through learning, because that ain't the time at all. It's when he's at his lowest and can't believe in himself any longer, because the world has done whipped him so. When you start measuring somebody, measure him right. Make sure you done taken into account the hills and valleys he come through before he got to wherever he is today. Dear people, God's love for sinners like us enables us to treat others as if they matter. St. Paul tells us in Romans 5, listen to this precious promise. For when we were still without strength, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. And now we exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation with God. Did you hear what Paul said? We were without strength. We were ungodly. We were sinners. We were enemies of God. If God had given us what our sins deserved, we would be destroyed. But Jesus died and rose for sinners like us to make us right with God, to reconcile us to God. That's amazing grace. And in the face of such amazing grace and love, we cannot help but treat others as if they matter to God as well. Listen to what John says in 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God, but he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. In this is the love of God, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought now to love one another. We wrap this sermon up about people matter with the true story about a pastor in a small town. This particular congregation owned its own cemetery on the outskirts of town. You don't see this much anymore, but anybody who's from the prairies or from the Midwest in the USA maybe are familiar with the church that had their own cemetery. Ours did in Alberta before we moved here, the congregation we served. But this congregation owned its own cemetery on the outskirts of town, and over the years, the leaders of that church put together a list of very strict rules of who could be buried in that church cemetery. Basically, only the members of that congregation could be buried in that cemetery. But a stepson of one of the elderly members died. He was a troubled young man, especially troubled when he came back from serving in the military and overseas service. His war experiences hurt him deeply. And though he had gone to his stepmother's pastor for many visits, he just couldn't find himself to bring himself in for Sunday worship. He didn't feel comfortable as if the other people would really accept him. When he died, his stepmother asked permission to bury him in the church cemetery. She was elderly. She had no car. She wanted to be able to walk to visit his grave. But her request by the leaders was turned down. But after some discussion, she was given permission to bury him outside the cemetery fence on the land adjacent to the cemetery, also owned by the congregation. For almost one entire year, the pastor was troubled by the sight of that woman visiting her son's grave outside the fence. It just wasn't right. But he couldn't dig up the casket and move the whole thing. But he did decide to take action and to take full responsibility, even if it meant his resignation. So one night, all by himself, he spent the entire evening and the next morning moving a portion of the cemetery fence 10 feet to the north. By moving it 10 feet to the north, the son's grave was now inside the church cemetery. The young man was where he belonged. He moved the fence. By the way, the pastor served that congregation until he retired. Do you realize that God, our Heavenly Father, has done the same thing for you and me and for all sinners? In Christ Jesus, he has moved the fence. We in no way deserve heaven. We are sinners, and the Bible is clear. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God Almighty. Due to our sin, a fence of separation has been set up, and we cannot get into heaven on our own. Our sins mean that we are on the outside looking in. But the good news of Holy Scripture is this: in Christ our Lord, God has moved the fence. Better than that, he has torn it down. Romans 3:23 declares, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." In Christ Jesus our Lord, God has not just moved the fence, he has torn it down to include all sinners, even sinners like you and me. May this amazing love of God now move us and this congregation to live out our faith as if all people matter, because they do. In Jesus' name, amen.